And we are going to be losing some of our members this week. Like Joel and Wyatt and Jacob and James. They'll be gone. Well, they're not. I was talking about this class. They're not in this class, are they? Yes, they are in this class. I know you will miss your daughter. Okay. Ephesians 6, 1 through 6, right? Are you ready? And then we're going to see if we got a volunteer for Ephesians 3. In fact, I'm thinking that next week we're going to go back to the old-fashioned way. We're going to all meet here in auditorium, start Sunday school, everybody, with your family. And then we're going to have your family, we have family, say the memory verse. Okay? So.
Pastor, why don't we make the verse on this one a verse to the Lord memorized?
We're going to have enough trouble getting everybody to do this one. Okay, are you ready? Ephesians 1, 1 through 6. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, into the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath given us accepted in the blood. Ephesians 1, 1 through 6. Okay. Well, didn't do it perfectly, but we're doing better. Okay? So, next week, 3 more verses. Okay? Okay, 1 through 9 next week. Okay? Okay, we have a volunteer for Ephesians 3. We have any volunteer? We have a volunteer, Ephesians 3. Okay, who's going to volunteer their family for next week? Any man going to volunteer their family for next week?
My mother-in-law is 16 and I'm not injured. I should volunteer them next
week. No. Okay, Joel, you'll have to come to Sunday school next week. That's why he volunteered. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, Mrs. Bird, can you say it? You're going to do it next week. With Lydia, okay? All right, so Let's do Ephesians 3 together then, okay? All right? Ephesians 3. For this cause I, Paul, prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, in few words, wherein ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in God by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, was this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the mystery, which hath from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confidence, with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, unto the that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Ephesians 3. Okay. So, it takes a lot of work for these old minds to get that, doesn't it? Young minds. We got young minds here. Right, DJ? How you doing? You doing good? All right. Lead us in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time that we can come, Lord, and hear the truths that you are going to present to us today. And I pray that you would open our hearts and help us to be ready, Lord, for you, the real problems that are in our lives and that we need to accept and hear, Lord. That you would bless this time, Lord, ourselves to take something away from it today. Just say a prayer.
Amen. Okay, so first of all, we have, DJ, come and help here. We have a Sunday school quiz, right? Remember that Sunday school quiz? You are very fortunate because she didn't do it right. She was supposed to put it on a separate piece of paper, but I never told her to, so that's why. So you won't get to turn it in, okay? We need two up here. So the quiz is to put seven of the eight without looking, can't look. Can't look on your computer, can't look in your Bible. The eight requirements of prerequisites of reading your Bible to get wisdom and discretion. Okay? So that's the quiz. And actually there's eight there, but you only have to list seven. Okay? Go. And if you can, put a word that would summarize what that means. You weren't here? Proverbs 2. Yeah. The 8 requirements of receiving wisdom. Okay, and then you can correct your paper on your own. In case you didn't hear the news, Elizabeth Grace was born yesterday. Her name is Elizabeth Grace. She was born sometime yesterday afternoon. And she was 5 pounds, 15 ounces, and 19 and a half inches long. And my wife did the delivery. Didn't have time to get to the hospital. So my wife had an exciting time yesterday. All you have to do is ask her about it. Is she even here? You must be telling somebody about it. Okay. So, either you know it or you don't, right? Okay, so what are the requirements? Receive my commandments. Means an openness to God's word. You'll hide my commandments with thee. Must memorize God's word. Incline thine ear unto wisdom. Listen carefully. Apply thine heart to understanding. If you will cry after knowledge and lift up your voice, okay, both of them are a specific kind of praying. If you will search for her as for silver, seek her, speaks of intense desire. And if you will seek her as for hid treasure, speaks of effort. Okay? How many got 7? At least 7 down. Raise your hand. Good. Okay? Okay, we'll have that quiz next week and let you turn it in. Okay? All right. Now on the other side, we're going to have another opportunity to apply our hearts unto wisdom. We're going to start a study on the attributes of God. I'm trying to figure out how we're going to do this. I think that what we'll do is next week we'll have a quiz. We'll give you a quiz on this list. Okay, so you'll get to repeat this list, okay? And hopefully you don't mind, but typically we don't learn unless we really are motivated to learn, and unless we really decide to learn, and too often Sunday school is, well, you know, I'm gonna just sit back and relax and maybe get something out of here and maybe not, but we need to do better than that. Okay? So What we will do is we will take this list and we'll let you memorize that. Then we will we'll have a key verse for each of those verses that you will know the reference to. And then, well, we'll also have a simple definition of each attribute, okay? All right? So that's how we're going to approach this. And we're going to try to deal with some of these in detail. But I think that we will... let's see here. Now, all of these... okay, so... You know, you can go to different theology books and you can find different lists, okay? In fact, I saw a list in Bancroft's theology that I really liked. It really kind of made things kind of fit together about his attributes. And maybe I'll present that next week, but this today is just kind of a list, okay? And you're going to go to different places and you'll find different lists, okay? You know, I think that it's good for us to really have these in our mind about who God is. And we'll spend a little bit of time about these. Okay, I thought this is interesting. I just want to make a couple comments on some of these. Let's go way down to the end. Truth. Okay? John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, that's a great verse in the Bible. Notice, I think there's something that, if you think about the Bible, what the Bible says, that really we emphasize a part of eternal life that the Bible, we don't, put it a different way, we don't emphasize as much as the Bible does the what eternal life is. Okay? When we talk about eternal life, what do we emphasize? Going to heaven. Okay? In the Bible, we find a little bit different emphasis. Notice it says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Notice it says, eternal life is what? Knowing God. Eternal life is knowing God. Okay? Now, if we can just kind of stop and think about that. Now relate that to everyday life. Maybe relate that to children. Maybe relate that to teenagers. When they think of eternal life, what do they think about? What do they think about? Why? Eternal life. What's the first thing that comes in their mind? living forever, maybe. All right? But what is the Bible in this verse saying? What is eternal life? Knowing God. Knowing God. Boy, there's a big difference, isn't there? Okay? There's a huge difference between the emphases or the thought process. And the Bible says eternal life is knowing God. Okay? And, of course, here's a verse about truth, that God is truth. I thought it would be it's interesting to look at 1 John 5. First John 5:20, and this again is interesting. This is, of course, First John is the parallel to the Gospel of John. Okay, verse 19. It says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness," or in the wicked one. "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us and understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Now, what is this verse emphasizing? By the way, happy 50th anniversary to the Hatchets. 50, wow. You don't even look that old. Praise the Lord. That's pretty exciting. Okay. So what is this verse emphasizing? Is this verse is again emphasizing the same thing, right? Is eternal life is what? Knowing God. Now, let's kind of put this in another thought here. Knowing God. It says, "We are in him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even as Son Jesus." And this is the true God and eternal life. Okay? Let me give you a definition of God as truth. This is by Charles Ryrie. He is consistent with himself. He is all that he should be. He has revealed himself as he really is. He and his revelation, he, God, and his revelation are completely reliable. Now, this is something to think about. All right, is to know God, who is God? He is the God who has revealed himself in the Bible. All right, that is the God that when someone gets saved, that they come to know. The God of the Bible. Okay? Now, so, who is God? God is true. That means he has He is true and he is compatible and he is consistent with who he has revealed himself to be. Now, this isn't a very good illustration, but I was thinking about this the other day. Here's a young lady, and she got a job. And the job was going to require her to work Sundays and Wednesday nights. Did she get the job from God? No. She didn't get the job from God. Would God want her to miss the Lord's Day and Wednesday night? Nope. Now, thank the Lord, she came back to me and she said, I told my supervisor, I can't work Wednesday nights. And I can't work Sundays. Says, well, guess you don't have this job. We'll give you a different one. But how do you know who God is? I mean, how do you tell? How do you tell if it's from God or if it's not from God? How do you know who God is? How do you know who He is? I mean, that's an important thing to figure out, isn't it? Who is God? Okay? And the Bible is telling us God is truth. All right? And that God of the Bible is the true God. Now, I just bring that up as illustration, is the fact is that what is in the minds of people today, how important is truth? If you go by the political world, it's not important at all. That's right. Okay? Some people know that the way you get your votes is tell a lie and say it in such a way that you believe it, okay, or that's true. But the same situation is who is God? He is true. In other words, you can know who He is. You don't. It isn't as though you can't know who He is. You can know who He is. Okay, so I was just trying to give us the illustration. How do you know something is from God or something is from another invisible force? How do you know the difference?
Pastor, because it's contrary to His word.
Okay. If it's contrary to His word, then it's not the God of the Bible. All right? Because God is true. All right? Now, people don't think that way anymore, do they? People don't think that way anymore. And again, I think the emphasis has become, and I think that we are guilty of this as anyone, maybe more so than anyone. I don't know. But, you know, we say to someone, wouldn't you like to have eternal life? And what do we mean? Live forever in heaven. Okay? But we're not really saying to them, would you like to know the real God and have a relationship with a living God? Okay? And why? Why is that? Why is that obviously so? Okay, why is it obviously so? because you have a rock band dressed like homosexuals or, at the best, Hollywood entertainers talking about, maybe talking about Jesus. They might be talking about the man upstairs. Okay? And what are they saying? They're saying, you can have eternal life. But the God who gives you eternal life is not the same as the God of the Bible. He's not a holy God. He's not separate from sin. They're saying he is a God who cohabits with sin. And so now you have a big problem. Because now you have redefined God, and now God isn't truth. God is something other than truth. And how have you defined him? You have defined him by how the gospel is presented. And so now, here's a person that has eternal life, but what God did they get it from? You know, I don't know all the answers, but again, let's talk about, let's the average teenager, when they think about being saved, they think of everlasting life. They don't think about what the Bible says, knowing God. Make sense to you? You see, those are two completely, they're supposed to be compatible, but in our Christianity, they are two distinct ways of thinking. Okay? And so, that's a good thought for us to think of. Why should we know, you know, who God is? Okay? Let's just think about this. We're just going to do a few of these in brief today, and you'll have to help me, Scott, because I left my watch home today, okay? When it gets quarter after, let me know. What is it right now? Five after? Boy, time goes by quickly. Okay, let's turn to Psalm 139. And in Psalm 139, we have a number of truths about God. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought far off. Speaks of his omniscience. God knows everything, whether it is actually or in the future, or it is even potential. He says, you know, if I would have preached to Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented. That's what the Lord said. He knew what might could have happened under certain circumstances. Okay? He knows everything that's going to take place in our life before it even takes place. He knows everything right now, doesn't he? He is omniscient. Verse 5, thou hast beset me behind and before, and that laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, and whither shall I flee from thy presence? How many of us really live like God is omnipresent? thought I would read a couple of things here about what someone has said about omnipresence. Okay? Omnipresence. I thought this was a pretty good statement. He is always present whether we believe it or not. He is always available to us wherever we go. God can be ignored, but he cannot be avoided. How many young people are trying to avoid God? That's kind of a interesting statement, isn't it? How many people are living like God isn't present? And yet, okay, well, let's translate into real words. Okay, if a person is living like God isn't present, okay, then how well do they know God? If a person is living like God isn't present, then how well do they know God?
They're just lying to themselves.
Huh?
They're just lying to themselves.
They are lying to themselves? Let's go back to our original verse. He hath given us an understanding. Okay? This is a spiritual understanding. Understanding that God is always present. Now, what we're dealing with is, again, what we're dealing is, who is God? Okay? If God is omnipresent, okay, then he really is, isn't he? Can you ever avoid him? You can't ever avoid. Can you ever run from him? I mean, you can try. But can you really ever run from God?
Jonah's a good example of that.
Jonah's a good example, isn't it? We laugh, don't we? We laugh. We laugh at Jonah, but Jonah, what he did was nothing compared to what people do all the time. I mean, he thought he could get in a ship and he could go to Tarshish and he could get away from God. That somehow, you know, on a foreigner ship, that on a sea, you know, foreign sea, that he could get, you know. All right, so he was not practicing the reality of the omnipresence of God. Okay? So, wow, that's quite a thought, isn't it? All right? Now, again, we're getting back to our premise here. Our premise was today is there is this emphasis that eternal life is merely some life that never ends. Where in the Bible, the emphasis of eternal life is what? A relationship with God. Knowing the God of the Bible. Coming to know the God of the Bible. Now, you think about those atheists put all those billboards up in South Carolina, you know? And because they want to, and they tried to do it in Tampa, but the advertisers in Tampa wouldn't let them do it. And the whole purpose of it was to influence political conventions, okay? And they're put up by the Atheist Society. I don't remember. It's good. It's not worth repeating. But, so, they're trying to, but, you see, an atheist, obviously the Bible says that an atheist is an atheist because they chose to be. But, what's the difference between an atheist and a Christian? A Christian is one who has come to, what? Know God. An atheist doesn't know God, but a Christian knows God. And who is God? God is omnipresent, isn't he? And now, we're going to be studying this throughout the Sunday school, but I think this is a study for us to be praying about. I think this is a study for us to apply to our lives. And I think it's really really significant for our young people to think about if they really know God. Do they really know God? Or do they not really know God? You know, do they really know God of the Bible? I mean, I don't know the answers. Sometimes you have to ask yourself, do people really know God? You know, if they don't know God, well, they don't have eternal life. Because that's what eternal life is. Eternal life is coming to know God. Eternal life isn't something you... I remember one time we were out soul winning and we were talking to a Catholic lady. And this is what she said. My partner says, you know, you can know that you have eternal life. And she says, really? You mean they've got that now? Now, I really was shocked by that lady who said that. But you know, as I think about that, that's how a lot of people think, is that it has nothing to do with knowing God. It's something that you get, you know? You get this, you know, this eternal life, you know, but you don't really get what comes with it, which is what? Knowing God. Pardon me? 9:15. Okay, 5 minutes. Thank you, sir. Okay? So, let's try to, let's try to get some quick definitions here. Attributes of God. Eternal. Never came into existence, nor was caused to come into existence. Endlessly self-existent. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Infinite, he has no bounds nor limits. Solomon spoke about this when he said that God couldn't dwell in a house. He wasn't limited to dwell in a house. He is omnipotent. He is all powerful. Omnipresent, everywhere present. Omniscient. He knows everything, actual and possible. He is self-existent. No one brought him into being. He is self-sufficient. He is, in that sense, he is completely free from man. He exists in himself, immutable. He is never inconsistent or growing or developing. immutable. He is unchanging. You know, you'd think that God today was changing. If you look at modern theology, God must be changing. I think an evangelist said, you know, the movies must be getting better. Or people must be wearing more clothes at the beach. Because today Christians are going to the movies. Today Christians are going to the beach. Public schools must be getting better. Nearby institution, most of their teachers are going into the public school. Nearby Christian college. Going into public school. Wow. Freedom. This is related to self-existent and self-sufficient, independent of his creatures and his creation. Holiness, positively pure and distinct from all others. Love. Simplicity. God is a spirit. He is not flesh and blood. He is not a combination of spirit and blood. Sovereign. Complete control of all things. Truth. We talked about that. Unity. One God who is indivisible. Persons of the Trinity are not separate essences within the one divine essence. God is one in number and uniqueness. Righteousness. He is just. A God of justice. I think there's others that could be put down here, but this would be a good list for us to meditate upon and to think about. And obviously those three, omniscient, omnipresence, omnipotent, are very, very significant truths. Okay, so let's see how we do on that list. Any questions? Yes, sir.
What did you say about love?
I didn't say anything for love. He always seeks the highest good of his creatures. Yes. Is the equivalent of knowing a lot about God? They think that that is the same thing as knowing God. Yes, but I would say at the same time that most young people do not put that kind of knowledge into their thinking. They do not. They may say, "Well, God is omniscient," but they, in their thinking, don't think God is omniscient. They may say, "Oh, I know omnipresent means He's everywhere present," but in their thinking, their understanding of God in practical, they limit Him. They say, "Well, He's not here." Now we all do that to some degree. But why? Because we don't have a very good definition of God. Okay, and so the definition of God is being determined by men, by Satan, by music. There's a lot of ways that God is being defined. God is certainly not a God of absolute truth today, is he? Is he a God of absolute truth? Not at all. No way. He is not a God of absolute truth. It's interesting, I was just reading, if you've never read the book, The Tragedy of Compromise by Ernest Pickering, you need to read it. It's getting kind of old, but it's amazing how relevant it is. And just read a few pages out of it recently. And he was talking about how that the whole field of compromise is making the feeling of God the primary principle of Christianity rather than truth. And that's what the CCM music is all about. And that's what all the new evangelical churches, it's all about feeling. And truth isn't known by the Bible. In fact, they don't know the Bible. They have no idea what the Bible says. And what they know about God is what they feel. And this is predominant among Christianity today. And of course, it's all related to the feel-goodism of the charismatic movement that has permeated most of Christianity. But, again, we have two opposites, feeling versus truth. All right? And you know what? As I think about it, I think that many times I am amazed how many people can sit in this congregation for 20 years, and when they leave, they absolutely learned almost nothing. Unbelievable. And they go somewhere else, and immediately all their beliefs change. Well, obviously, they never learned anything. You know? We had a little conversation with someone, I won't say it was, and the one person says, well, I don't know what the Bible says about that. And the other person says, yes, you do. I heard the same things that you heard. I know what the Bible says, but you don't. Why? One was listening and one wasn't listening. Okay, last comment. Yes. Well, how can there be a holy God? I mean, there is no holy God. When you have some guy, some rock band in the front of your church, there's no holy God. That's not possible. You got somebody singing a special and they got a low-cut neckline, there's no such thing as a holy God. That's not in their vocabulary. They have no idea that there's a holy God. That's the issue today. Who is God? You know, if he's holy, then he's holy. But if he isn't holy, well, then he isn't holy. But we know he's holy. Well, if he is holy, then what does that mean? And if you've come to know the holy God, then there will be an understanding of that, right? Okay? So the issue is, who is God? And maybe in the long run, it's, okay, which God saves? That's another question. Which God saves? Does the God of your imagination save, or the God of the Bible save? Which God saves? Which one do you think? The only one God that saves. Hopefully, what the God that people think they know is the same God that's the God of the Bible. But it could be different, couldn't it? And that God won't save. That God won't save. Okay, let's pray. Father, pray that you'll bless these days ahead as we look at the attributes of God, and help us, Lord, to be diligent, take the effort that we need to take to really allow the truth of your word to fill our minds and our hearts, Lord. And pray that you will guide us as we teach our teachers and as they teach these truths to their students. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.